be saved without grace. Grace is a part of the plan that cannot be overlooked. It is essential, is absolutely necessary, that no man can be saved without the grace of God. But the bigger question is, how does God dispense that grace? And is it all of God and none of me? We looked at some passages this morning. Tonight, we want to look especially at the word works in the Bible and how that plays into God's plan. And so we want to ask the question, does grace exclude all works? Because God's grace is dispensed upon man, does that exclude him from having to do anything? Now, when the Bible says, and I want you to turn your Bibles, because there will be those who tell us that we do not believe what Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 9 says. And the truth is, we do believe that. Look at Ephesians 2 and look at verse number 9. It says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, do we believe what that says? Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Yes. But to understand that statement, you must understand what work God is talking about. Number one, he's not talking about works of the devil. That's not the work he's talking about. That's what Jesus came to destroy. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8, he came to destroy the work of the devil. It's not talking about the works of darkness. The works of darkness we are to reprove, we are to reject. We are to expose those who do the works of darkness. Ephesians 5, verse 11. It's not the works of the flesh. We are to put those aside. We are to do away with them. We are not to go back to that after we become a Christian. We are to do away with the works of the spirit, of the works of the flesh. You know, lasciviousness, fornication, adultery. Those works can't save. So those works are not under consideration. And then the works of the law of Moses. Why? Because the law of Moses was nailed to the cross. The work of the law of Moses can't save anyone today. I had a good friend when I lived in Nevada that was from California, and he said all a man has to do is keep the Ten Commandments to be saved today. That's not so. Man doesn't live under the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were under the law of Moses. That law died and was nailed to his cross when he died on it, according to Colossians 2 and verse number 14. And I want you to look at Galatians chapter 2, because this is the passage that those who tell us that we can't be saved by doing anything, this is a passage that they go to prove it. Look at Galatians 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we that have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, for by works of the law no flesh can be justified. Now what does it mean when it says by the works of the law no man can be justified? The word justified means acquitted. It means to be made right. What works of the law is he talking about? He's talking about the works of the law of Moses. There were those in the first century that were trying to bind the works of the law and the law of Christ together. And he's trying to show in the book of Galatians that the work of the law and the law of Moses can't save anyone now. Why? Because we're not under the law of Moses. We're under the faith that is in Christ. And so there is a difference. And so the works of the law are not talking about the works of any law. It's talking in context about the works of the law of Moses. And so, is that correct? Can the works of the law of Moses save us? You can go get you an altar. You can offer a sacrifice on it. It won't do one thing to take away your sin. We're not under that law anymore. That's the point. Now, we are justified by works. But what kind of works? Works that are works of God. Turn over to John chapter 6 for a moment. Would you look at John chapter 6? Now, none of these can save us. Those are type of works that we can't do anything to help us. But the works that justify us are the works of God. Look at John chapter 6 and look at verse number 28. Verse number 28. In verse 28 and 29, it says, they said to him, what shall we do that we may do the works that we may work the works of God. Now, they wanted to know what works can we accomplish that rightly can be called the work of God. Look at verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you might believe in Him whom He sent." And so in that passage, it says that one of the works of God is faith. Faith is a work of God. Now, that says that faith is a work. Now, if we can't be saved by any work, then we can't be saved by faith. Now, brethren, do you see that? If you take the argument that man does not do any work in order to be saved, then he doesn't have to have faith, because the Bible says that faith is a work. Now, how are we going to reconcile that? Grace does not exclude faith. Now, let me say that again. Grace does not exclude faith. Faith is how we get access to the grace. And I'm going to show you that in just a moment. And so, therefore, grace does not exclude work. Work is simply obedience. It's not earning it. It's not meriting it. It's not doing it because we're trying to obligate God. It's the demonstration of faith. Now, I want to show you a chart. Maybe. I want you to look at this because it's important. Now, salvation is by grace through faith. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians 2. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who was the book of Ephesians written to? Christians at Ephesus. What did the Christians at Ephesus do? According to Acts chapter 19, they believed and were baptized. Now, in the letter that was sent to the church at Ephesus, this is what Paul said, beginning in verse 8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith." By grace you have been saved through faith. "And not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, faith in the Bible is not mental assent. Now, what do I mean by that? Faith is not saying that I believe in Jesus. I believe God created the heavens and earth. I believe that Jesus lived, died, and was resurrected and ascended to heaven. You have to believe those facts, but that's not Bible faith. Bible faith is active, obedient faith. It is acting upon what God says. Remember what Romans 10:17 says? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now in James chapter 2, which is a matter of fact, Mr. Luther, who believed that man was saved by faith alone, tried to prove during his lifetime that James didn't belong in the Bible, that it wasn't an inspired letter. Now, if I believed in faith only, I take that argument too. Because in James chapter 2, it says faith without works is dead, being alone. But look at James chapter 2 and look at verse 22. It says, "Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect?" Now, brethren, that's an important passage. Because it tells us what faith does. Faith makes us complete. Faith makes us complete. And who's he talking about in verse 22? He's talking about Abraham. What is Abraham called in the Bible? He's called the father of faith. Why? Because God told him to leave his homeland. What did he do? He left his homeland and went to a place that God would show him. He was told in Genesis 22 to take Isaac and take him up on Mount Moriah and offer him for a sacrifice. What did Abraham do? He did exactly what God told him to do. What did God call that? He called that faith that worked righteousness. You see, faith, working faith, is how we get access to God's grace. Now, if you think I made that up, turn to Romans chapter 5 and look at verse 1. And see, that's exactly what Paul told the Romans. In Romans chapter 5, and verse number 1, therefore. Now, what is therefore, therefore? What does that mean? That means a conclusion is being drawn. What did he talk about previous to chapter 5 and verse 1? He was talking about the righteousness of Abraham that was demonstrated by his faith. Now look at what he says. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace by which we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory. Do you see what he says? Our faith, our believing faith, active and obedient, by doing what God has commanded us to do, that faith gives access into this grace, and by this faith, we have access to this grace. And what does grace do for us? It forgives us of our sin. You see, brethren, grace is an expression. And everything that God does is an expression of His grace. He let His Son leave heaven and come to earth. That's an expression of God's grace. God allowed His Son to die in order to pay the penalty for sin. That's an expression of God's grace. God made a plan before the world began. That's an expression of God's grace. How do I get access into the benefits of that grace? By my faith. By my active, obedient faith. Now, let's go back to the book of Ephesians for a moment. In Ephesians, the letter was written to Christians in Ephesus. The Christians in Ephesus had obeyed the gospel in Acts 19, verse 1 and 2. So by their hearing and obeying and being baptized, what did Paul say back in Ephesians chapter 2 again? What did he say? He said, for by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. You see that? You can't gain the benefit of grace without faith. If you don't have faith, you cannot obtain grace. Grace can only be obtained by faith, and faith is doing what God says. And the Bible says, faith alone is dead. Can't save anybody. Read James 2, verse 24. Faith without works is dead, being alone. What kind of work? God's works. The work that God called upon man to do. And so, it's teaching men and women that the way to gain God's grace is by the avenue of faith that is demonstrated by our obedience. Now, let me give you a Bible explanation. Don't take my word for it. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Now, let me give you an example of what we're talking about. The Israelites looked at the bronze serpent. Remember what they did? They were complaining. They were murmuring. And what did God do? He sent fiery serpents to bite them. And they were dying. And they cried to God and said, deliver us. What did God command Moses to do? He said, you take a brazen serpent and you put it on a pole and you put it out there. And all that look upon the brazen serpent, even though they've been bitten, they will live and not die. Now, the benefit is that they will live even though they've been bitten, but do they have anything to do to obtain the blessing? Is there anything they had to do in order to obtain the blessing that they would live and not die? Yes, what did they have to do? They had to look at the serpent. They had to lift their eyes and look at the serpent, and if they did that, God would extend grace and would not take their life. But you know what that also is? That is an anti-type. You know what's an antitype of? Christ being lifted on the cross. Just like the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, Christ will be lifted up on the cross. And all men that look to Christ, even though they're dead, They can be made alive. Is there anything they have to do? They have to look to Christ. They have to look to Christ. So by faith, the Israelites looked at the serpent, and the gift of God, that's an expression of His grace, is instead of dying, they live. Now, I know you can see that. Now, remember the walls of Jericho? We talked about this morning. In Hebrews 11:30, it says, the Israelites marched around Jericho, and the wall fell by faith. What does it mean, the walls fell by faith? You see, the walls fell when they obeyed the instruction that God gave them. Walk around it once a day for 6 days. Don't speak a word. Walk around it 7 times the last day. Blow the trumpets and the walls fall and you walk in. Now, what is the expression of God's grace? The walls fell. That's an expression of God's grace. They didn't do anything to merit that. They didn't do anything to deserve that. They didn't earn it. But how did God's grace, how was it given to them? Through their faith. And how was their faith demonstrated? By following the instruction that God gave. What about Naaman? Naaman was a leper in the Syrian army. And he was told that if he went and talked to the prophet in Jerusalem, he could be cleansed. And so, what did he do? He came to the prophet's house. He stood out there. And the prophet sent, Elisha sent a messenger. And said, Naaman, my master says, you go dip in the Jordan 7 times, and when you come up the 7th time, you'll be cleansed. Now, that would be an expression of God's grace. He'd be clean. Did he have to do anything to receive it? He had to dip in the Jordan 7 times, didn't he? And you know what that is? That's an expression of Naaman's faith. And remember, he didn't want to do it at first, you remember? Remember when he said, I don't want to dump in that muddy Jordan River. Why don't I go to the rivers of Damascus? They're more cleaner than the River of Jordan. But you remember what that servant said? The servant said, Master, if he'd have told you to do some great thing, you'd have done that. Why not just do what he said? And so you know what he did? He went into the Jordan and he dipped 7 times. And when he came out the 7th time, he was clean. That was an expression of God's grace extended to Naaman. Did he have to do anything to receive the benefit? He had to dip in the Jordan 7 times. That's his active faith. You see that? Last, the blind man. Remember the blind man that was healed in John chapter 9? Remember his servants came up and said, his disciples said, hey, this man's blind. Who sinned? Him or his parents? Remember that question? And he told the blind man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and he would come up seeing. What was an expression of God's grace? He would come out seeing. Did he have to do anything to receive the benefit? He had to go down to the pool of Siloam, and he had to wash like God's Son told him to do. And when he did that, he came up seeing. See, it wasn't faith only. It was his faith that he went out and washed. And it was God's grace that allowed him, when he did so, that he saw. Now, do you see this? Do you see what I'm saying? Access to the benefit is only derived by active living faith. And you know what? I could give you 5 more charts, and I'm not going to. But I could give you 5 more charts with this same example to show you the benefit was derived by man being obedient to what God says. Now, brethren, isn't that simple? That's simple, isn't it? Let me show you another chart. Now, those of our friends say that it's grace only. It's only the disposition of unmerited favor. God saves man by grace only and no part of man. Okay, now if it's grace only, now follow me through here. If man is saved by faith only, then he doesn't need a Savior. He doesn't need blood. He doesn't need the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't need the gospel. If it's grace only, if it's only God, then he doesn't need a Savior. He doesn't need the blood. Doesn't need the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't need the gospel. Now you believe that? You believe that all those things are unnecessary? I'm going to tell you what. Without a Savior, you don't have any salvation. Because it's the Savior that made it possible that you'd have salvation. You can't be justified without the blood. Romans 5 verse 9 says, by the blood we gain justification. We're acquitted. You can't be saved without the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit revealed the way that man is saved by the grace of God. And you can't be saved without the gospel, because Romans 1:16 says it's the power of God to salvation. Now, is it grace only? No, it's not grace only. It takes all those other things too. Do you know what? In the Bible, there are 21 things listed that says that saves us. And you know what's not in front of any of them? O-N-L-Y. Only. Nowhere does the Bible say only equals salvation. And by the way, the only time that it says faith only, it says it can't save us in James chapter 2. Now, if you can understand this, you can understand this. Grace is the disposition of God's unmerited favor, and Christ died, shed His blood, the Holy Spirit revealed the message, we have the inspired record when it was preached, and when He obeyed, what did God say? It is the gift of God. Now, did man do anything to obtain it? The only thing he did is enact his faith in what God asked him to do. That's all he did. Now, is that me earning it? Is that me meriting it? Is that God obligating himself? No. That's an expression by faith. Now, we have others who say you just need faith. Faith only. How many of you have heard this? I don't care where you're at. I don't care if you're in a bar. I don't care if you're in a hotel room with somebody you shouldn't be in. You just come up and put your hand on the TV, put your hand on the radio, bow your head, and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you'll be cleansed of your sin, and you can leave, and you can be a child of God. And then go back to whatever you're doing, because it doesn't matter after that. Now, I've heard Billy Graham say that. I've heard Oral Roberts say that. I've heard Benny Hinn say that. But I'm telling you that the only problem is God never said it. God never said it. You see, faith only means you don't have any love for God. I don't have to love God. All I got to do is believe that He exists. I don't have to love Him. I only need my faith in Him. I don't need to repent. But what did God tell those on the day of Pentecost that asked the apostles, men and brethren, shall we do? What did He tell them to do? Why, you don't got to do nothing. You just got to believe. That's not what He said. He said to repent and be baptized, every one of you. And if you don't need to repent, you don't need to confess. But Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. Brethren, that's what the book says. But if it's faith only, you don't need none of that. And so grace, no access by faith only. You can't receive the benefit of God's grace by not demonstrating faith in God. It can't be done. And therefore, faith is a disposition and trust and confidence manifested. How do I demonstrate my faith in God? I believe what He says. I repent of my sin, I confess His name, I submit to baptism, and I have access into the grace, and by this grace, I'm saved. Why? Because I've met the conditions that God set up. Now, brethren, isn't that exactly what the Bible teaches? Isn't that exactly what the Bible teaches? The air went off, folks. Now, look at this. You see, access by faith into this grace. You know what that fancy letters there? That's the Greek word for into. So, faith is working through love. And by works, faith was perfected. That's what we read. And so, by believing, we believe in the saving of the soul. That's what Hebrews 10:39 says. We repent, and repentance leads to salvation. That's what 2 Corinthians 7:10 says. And we confess with our mouth unto salvation. That's what Romans 10:10 says. And we're baptized for the remission of sin. That's what Acts 2:38 says. And all of that is an expression of God's faith. But how did I receive it? How did I receive the benefit of God's grace? Believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. See that? I know you can see that. You know, it's like an old preacher once told me, if you can't understand that and you can't see that, you don't got any problem. Because you're beyond understanding if you can't believe that, if you can't see that. Faith in the working of God. In baptism, raised through faith in the working of God. Faith in baptism. Why were you baptized? Because when I came out, I believed that I was raised with Him, that I was made alive together with Him, and that I'm forgiven. Why? Because Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not will be condemned. I believe when I do exactly what God says, then I've been buried with Him in baptism, and I arise to walk in newness of life, and I was dead, but I'm made alive. I was guilty, but now I'm forgiven. That's God's grace. That's the working of God's grace. How did I benefit from God's grace? I had faith to do what He told me to do. That's why I did it. Because I believe that when I did and I enacted my faith, I believe that God would generate His grace. And so, baptism manifests our faith in God, the power of God, to cleanse us from our sin. Turn to James 2 for a moment. Look at verse number 18. James 2, verse 18. But someone will say, you show me you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. What works? The works that God called upon me to do. That demonstrates my faith. You see that? Now, let me show you what I mean. When were we saved by grace through faith? At what point? When? When did it happen? Even when we were dead in trespasses, made alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made to sit in heaven together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What does that word walk mean? It means manner of life. You see, we were dead in our sins. We were made alive. And we were made alive by what? By grace. When we were raised up together. When were we raised up? When we came up out of the waters of baptism. See this? Buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through, look, here's our word, through faith in the working of God. Now what's that mean? Why do you believe that when you go in the water and you come up, why do you believe something's changed? Because you went into the water? Or do you believe what God said He would do when you do that? You see, that's the working of God. Now, when you come up out of the water, it doesn't turn red, doesn't turn black unless you got bad water back there, and it doesn't turn brown, but when you come up, you're not different because you're wet. You're different because the working of God has taken place. Who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Why did he forgive us? Because we demonstrated our faith. And we contacted the only thing that can take away our sin. What was that? The blood of Christ. But how did I gain access to the blood? Buried with him in baptism. Through faith, gave me access to the working of God. I can't explain it any simpler than that, folks. Maybe I can. In baptism. Now, how do we receive God's gift? Nobody denies it's a gift. Let me use an illustration here. Let's say that I'm going to give Chester a gift. Now, could I tell Chester that he has to come over to my house to get it? And if he did, and I gave him the gift, would it still be a gift, even though he had to come over to my house to get it? Would it still be a gift? Yes. Did he do anything to merit it? No. Did he do anything to earn it? No. But did he meet some conditions that I made? And if I'm giving a gift, can I make some conditions? I can if I choose to. And you know what Chester can do? He can choose to accept the gift if he comes over and gets it. But if he doesn't want the gift, he doesn't have to come over. But either way, it's still a gift. Now, brethren, in the same way, how do we receive God's gift? John 1 answers this question. To them, as many as received him, how do we receive him? How do you receive Christ? You accept what he says. You meet the conditions that he's asked for. He gave the right to become children of God. Those who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name and were born of God. See that? Now, what does that mean? What does all that mean? By believing and being born of God, we have the right to become children of God, and he has received us. Look. Born of God, that means born again. Of water and spirit. Isn't that what Jesus told Nicodemus? Unless you're born of water and spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Born of the Spirit, begotten through the Word. You have been born of incorruptible seed. What is the incorruptible seed? The Word of God. Read 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. And born of water, water baptism in his name. Remember what he told the household of Cornelius? He said, does anyone here see it right why these who also believed like we did that they shouldn't be baptized? And it says he commanded them to be baptized in water. Born of water. And according to Romans 6 verse 4, this is in newness of life. And according to Galatians 3 verse 26 and 27, they put on Christ and they are children of God. You see, how do I get the gift? I get the gift by believing and being born of God. You know what that is? That's something that I do. That's an action on my part. Now one more. I want you to look at this divine chain. Coming from the military, I understand what a chain is. And I understand what chain of authority is. It was drilled in my head for 20 years. I understand what it means. And I want you to know something. God has a chain too. And here it is. The divine chain. And every part must be in its place. I want you to look at this. God's infinite goodness provided grace. Is that a true statement? God's infinite goodness provided grace to mankind. Grace was provided through a Savior. Could we have grace without a Savior? We needed a Savior in order to be able to obtain grace. The Savior provided the sacrifice and he sent the Holy Spirit. The sacrifice was the payment of sin. the Holy Spirit would reveal the mind of God that would tell us how the plan works. Then, the Holy Spirit provided the gospel that we can read, that we can believe, and we can obey. And that's why Romans 1:16 says, it's the power of God and the salvation to all those that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You see, the Holy Spirit provided the gospel that told us the means and the terms of God's grace. The gospel provides the hearing and believing. Belief changes a heart, and what does it lead to? What does it lead to? Repentance, confession, and immersion into death. To contact what? The blood of Christ. The blood of the sacrifice washes away my sin. Isn't that what Acts 22:16 said? We read that this morning. And the Savior adds me to the body of safety. And what is that body? That's the church. Do you see? Now I'm going to ask you a question. Once you look at this chart, and I want to ask you a question. Now, which part of the chain do you want to leave out? Which part? Should we take the Savior out? Well, how can we do that? We take the Savior out, we don't have any benefit of grace, because grace is only recipient by God's grace. What about if we take the Holy Spirit out? How are you going to know the plan? How are you going to know how to become a member of the kingdom? How are you going to obtain God's grace without the instruction? How are you going to gain God's grace if you don't have the instruction how to get it? And then, what if you take the gospel up? Then you've got no instruction. Well, what if I take repentance out? What did Jesus say? Except you repent, you all likewise perish. What about confession? Well, the Bible says with the mouth, with the heart man believeth, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That means in the direction of. What about if I take baptism out? How are you going to get the blood? How are you going to get the blood? What about if I take the sacrifice in? Then I'm still in my sins. I have no remedy. And what if I take the church away? How am I going to get in the kingdom? Do you see something here? You've got to have every piece in its place. This chain is dependent upon the thing that precedes it. Everything in the order that God gave it. And if you take one piece out, then you destroy the chain. And you destroy the benefit. I know you can see that. Therefore, now, last question. How are we saved? How are we going to be saved? The Bible answer is, provision is made through the blood of Christ. He shed it for all. And the message is that He will forgive us if we will be obedient. Response necessary by all of us. Are you saved by grace? Yes. Can you be saved without grace? No. But what gives you the right to have access to God's grace? You met the condition and you met the term. You acted on faith, and when you acted on your faith, God gave you access to the grace that saved you. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what God said, and that's what the book says. And anybody that says that we're saved by all of God and none of me is absolutely 100% wrong. Grace is God's part. Faith and obedience is my part. Does it take both in order for a man to be saved? Yes. God's grace, my working faith, and together I become a recipient of the grace of God that leads to salvation. Do I believe in grace? Yes, sirree, I do. Man can't be saved without it. God never intended for him to be saved without it, but he cannot gain access to God's grace without Bible faith. And Bible faith is demonstrated by obedience to the conditions and terms that God has made. And the last question this evening is this. Does God have the right to set the condition in order to receive his grace? Does he have the right to do that? I think he earned it, don't you? He died on the cross. He left heaven. He gave his life. He suffered and died. And he died a horrible death. Does that not entitle him to tell us what we must do in order to become recipients to what that grace brings us? Yes, brethren. And to say otherwise is to not be honest with what the Bible teaches. So next time somebody tells you, oh, you're a member of the church, you're the people that don't believe in grace, you correct their thinking. We believe in grace. We can't be saved without grace. It is grace that is the determining factor. But what we don't believe in is we don't believe in a free ride. We believe that God has called upon active, obedient faith. Do you ever wonder, brethren, why passages like Hebrews 11:6 exist? What does it say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? Because without faith, you have no access to God's grace. That's why it's impossible. So if you're here and you're not a Christian, we want to extend God's grace to you. We want to extend the benefit of the blood that was shed on Calvary. And we want you to become a recipient of God's grace. But God has asked for you to do some things in order to benefit from his death. And if you do that, then you will be a recipient of the grace of God. And you can say that you've been saved by grace through working faith. Because that's what the Bible teaches. And last, that faith must be demonstrated continually until you die or until the Lord returns. And when you do that, then God has promised that he will save you in the end. And if you have not done that and you need to repent and turn and come back to God, we're here to give you another access into the grace of God by rendering obedience to his terms. If we can help you tonight, we bid you to come forward as together we stand, as we sing.